ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. हरे कृष्ण. We welcome all the devotees and guests to our Sunday feast program over here today at Radha Gopinath Mandir. There are many more senior devotees over here. I seek their blessings. His Grace Jagadatma Prabhu, if he is here, I seek his blessings. And I was wondering, because the senior devotees are present, but I have been ordered to speak over here, so I am speaking. So the knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma is like fire. So although a person may be a child or a grown up person, whoever he may be, if he touches fire, he will be burned. Similarly, I may be qualified or not qualified, but the knowledge of Bhagavad Dharma is like fire, and whoever hears it submissively and applies it in his life, then he will make a lot of spiritual progress. So especially in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to hear attentively, because our staying in cities especially, not so much in villages and outside other places, the mind is bombarded with so many media projects, and therefore the noise in the mind is so loud that one cannot hear about Krishna. And the most affected people are the children. One devotee was mentioning to me how he saw one newspaper cartoon, and he was telling me that in that cartoon the child is sitting and watching television, and he tells his father, "Please get a glass of water for me." So the father says, "Come on, you go and get it yourself. Small child." So he says, no, you get for me." Father becomes a little annoyed, said, "Behave yourself, go and get the water yourself." And the child says, "Everything is fine, you get the water for me." So the father becomes very angry now, and he tells him, "Listen, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to slap you. I'm going to get up from here, come over there and slap you." So the boy says, "Okay, when you get up, go and get a water from me." So the devotee was relating it, that's how the living entity is, you know, always demanding. His eternal position is to be servant of Krishna, but he wants to enjoy by taking service from Krishna. So he keeps telling Krishna that, you know, "Give me this, give me that. I want to enjoy this, I want to enjoy that." And Krishna says, "Stop doing that sense gratification, you know, or I will punish you." He says, "No problem, you can punish me, but give me sense gratification." Let me enjoy. That is the situation of the living entity. So this material world is a very horrible place, and we can learn from the lives of the great devotees of Lord Krishna, especially the Pandavas, how they led their life, and they used everything in service of Krishna and not for sense gratification. And of course, in our previous life we were used to not so much of Mahabharata and Ramayana, but so many other movies and tales. But even these spiritual subject matters, Prabhupada writes that that is the difference. He says that material subject is static and spiritual subject is dynamic. Therefore, we are discussing on the same subject again and again and still feeling very enlivened. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavatam that the first qualification to make spiritual advancement is to hear, submissively hear. Spiritual life, he says, is very easy. One can make as good an advancement like a Paramhamsa simply by accepting the subject matter. Just by accepting. And then conditions apply, he writes in the end, that although process is very simple, but application is very difficult. Like that. So it all depends on us, how we do it. And you would like to discuss from the lives of the Pandavas especially, that how Suras, the demigods, the godly living entities, they follow the orders or live according to the laws of the Lord. And the demoniac, they go against the laws of the Lord. And in the Pandava family, in the Kuru family, we see both of them present over there. The sons of Dhritarashtra, headed by Duryodhan, and the sons of Pandu, headed by Yudhishthir Maharaj, an ideal example. So the Kurus, they try so much. After the Pandavas come as small young youth and their father has left his body in a jungle, and so Kunti Maharani brings them back to Hastinapur and they start staying with the Kurus under the protection of Dhritarashtra. We should know that Dhritarashtra, the brother of Pandu, was the elder brother, but he was blind, so he was enthroned while Pandu had left for the forest. But while Pandu was there ruling, at that time Pandu was very strong, he was a very powerful king of the planet, and he saw to it that his brother gets all facilities. So he behaved very equally with his brother. He gave him all wealth and everything, all respects, like that. So now Pandu's sons, the five Pandavas, they are not ordinary children. They are born directly from the Devatas, and so they are divine children. We have Yudhishthir Maharaj from Yamaraj, we have Arjun from Indra, we have Bhimsen from Vayu, we have the twins, Nakul and Sahadev, from the two Ashwini Kumaras. So they are very divine beings. They have extraordinary powers. And Duryodhan, he is also born of a very famous personality, Vyasadeva. But when he was born, at that time all ill signs were seen. And at that time, the sages recommended that this child should be discarded, because he will be the cause of destruction of the Kuru dynasty. And Duryodhan, as a baby, he was there in the arms of Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra was so attached even at that time that he did not pay heed. Vidura actually suggested more and more that if one wants to save a family, then one person can be given away. If one wants to save a community, a family can be sacrificed. And if one wants to save a nation, then a state can be sacrificed. And if one wants to save the whole world, a nation can be sacrificed. So like that, Vidura recommended and suggested, but Dhritarashtra did not pay any heed. And so this Duryodhan, of course, with lot of envy in his heart, like poison against the Pandavas, grew up in such a way that he always wanted to destroy them, because he thought that now they have come. Till the time I was there, I was the senior most, and now they have come, so they will take my place. And so he tried many ways, but among the Pandavas, Bhima was very strong and very powerful, even as a child. As a matter of fact, when he was born, his mother was taking care of him and he was lying down on her lap. All of a sudden, a lion roared and she was frightened. So she was sitting on a hilltop and Bhima slipped and fell down, just like a small baby. And Pandu and Kunti, both of them ran down because they were frightened that what must have happened to the child. Just imagine, a small baby. And to their surprise, he fell on a stone and the stone was crushed to powder. And they understood that this child is very powerful, even as a baby. So of course, all the 100 sons, when they were playing, Bhima would easily defeat them. And Duryodhan was very angry and he thought that, you know, we can take care of the other four, but this fellow is a little difficult. You should take care of him. And they tried a lot of means, but every time they tried to do something, we see that Krishna protected them. Bhimsen was fed poison. Duryodhan, he decided, let's go for a picnic, he said, and took them for a picnic. And he had already planned. So they were prince. They were staying very royal life. I speak this just to mention what a royal lifestyle these people had. So they were staying in such a royal lifestyle, very comfortable, everything was there. And when they had to go for a picnic, they had places where they had pleasure houses, many, many palaces built where they could go and have picnic. And the kids went and they chose whichever palace they would want to go, and inside the palace there were servants waiting to serve them with nice food and drinks and clothing. And then there was, of course, when you go for picnic, there is swimming. So there was nice river, ponds. And so Bhima was watching, Duryodhan was watching the Pandavas with his brother Dushyasan, and they were discussing, and they saw that Bhima, all the Kauravas, Bhima was challenging them, come, fight with me. And these small kids, the 100 brothers, they were running towards Bhima, and he would catch each of them and throw them in the water. Zoom, 1, 2, 3. And Duryodhan was wondering, my God, this fellow is very strong. We have to do something. And then he saw Bhimsen getting inside the water and shaking with his hand the water, creating waves. And all the other people just going against the waves and falling down. So Duryodhan planned, okay, in the picnic, he knew that Bhima likes to eat. So he sat next to Bhima. And he had put poison that could kill 100 grown-up men. And all his food, there were different varieties of food, and all those food stuff, he had put poison. And he sat next to Bhima. Just see how envious a person can become. Even Dhritarashtra, actually, that trying to kill his own brother. He sat next to him and encouraged Bhima, eat. And then he was feeding him with his own hand. Take, eat. Nice, good. And Bhima was joyful. He was eating. And after some time, they realized that nothing is happening to him. He ate so much. But the poison took some time to have its effect. And Dushyasan and Duryodhan had planned, what we will do is, when he has taken all this, when he is unconscious, we will tie him up with strong ropes and we'll put him in a Ganga. So thinking like that, they had planned. Here, kids were playing and almost it was evening, and that time the effect of the poison took place and Bhima started feeling dizzy and he fainted, became unconscious. At that time, Duryodhan and Dushyasan, laughing, very happy, all the kids were out, they tied both his hands and legs and took him and threw him in the river, in the Ganga. So the Ganga has many currents, actually, because it is coming from way up, passing through the heavenly planets, goes down through the Patal Loka. It has different currents. So this Bhimsen, when unconscious, as he fell down, tied with his hands and legs, he was caught in one current. And that current took him to the place of the Nagas. His body was going, floating like that in the current. And as he came over there, all the snakes were guarding. And they saw that somebody is coming floating. So they started attacking him by biting him. Already he has taken poison, and more poison was put into his body. But that poison which was fed to him was made by some different herbs on land. And the remedy to that poison was snake poison. So as soon as the Nagas bit him, Bhima came to consciousness. And as soon as he came to consciousness, he broke the ropes very easily. And he saw, he was wondering, where am I? And he saw some Nagas standing here and there, coming close. And he attacked them. And he smashed them, put some of them underground, beat them up very nicely. So they all ran to their in charge, Vasuki. And they told Vasuki that this human has come and he's smashing all our men. So then they personally came to see who this boy, and they saw a small boy over there looking very powerful. Along with Vasuki was his assistant Agra, and Agra actually was related to Bhima as a great great grandfather. So when he saw Bhima, he became very happy. Oh, my grandson has come. And he embraced him. And so Vasuki also became happy that, okay, so what should we do for him? We should do something for him, for this kid. We will give him a lot of jewels and gems. What should we do? So Agra thought for a moment and he said, no, we will give him our special ambrosial drink. And that drink's speciality is it gives a lot of strength. That is the speciality of that drink. So they brought Bhima to the palace over there, and many pots of this drink were kept over there, huge pots. And they told Bhima, please take. So Bhima picked up one big pot and started drinking. And as he was drinking, all the other Nagas were watching. They were thinking, even we cannot drink. How he's drinking? And Bhima drank almost 10 pots. And that was too much, actually. They were shocked. Everyone was very much shocked. And after drinking so much, he started feeling very sleepy. Because when you eat too much, you feel sleepy. So then they had a very nice silken cushion bed made for him. And Bhima went to sleep for 9 days. He was sleeping. And outside, Dushyasan and Duryodhan, very happy that we have killed him, were going, thinking, now he's finished. And when they came back, Kunti and the other Pandavas, Kunti asked, where is Bhima? So Pandava said that we searched for him in the palace. He was not there. So we thought that he left home little early. Therefore, we came. He says, no, he has not come here. Then a search party was sent. He was not found. And Vidura and Kunti themselves went to these palaces, pleasure houses, searching for Bhima. And here Duryodhan was enjoying. But on the 9th day, Bhima woke up and met his Agra grandfather, and then they bid him farewell by bringing him outside. And from the jungles, on the 9th day, they saw Bhima running and coming out. And everyone was very happy. And he explained the whole story. And of course, Yudhishthir had guessed, and Kunti especially had guessed, that Duryodhan is very envious of Bhima, and he must have tried to kill him. And now Bhima actually revealed what the truth was. So they kept quiet. They did not speak about it. And again, Duryodhan tried to feed poison by planning with Dushyasan. But this time, one of the cousins overheard it, who was favorable, and he came and he informed Bhima. And Bhima laughed. He said, don't worry, nothing will happen to me now. And right in front of Duryodhan, he ate all the poison, and nothing happened to him. And Duryodhan was surprised, because now he was so strong, it was unimaginable, after drinking that ambrosial drink. So this story is something like a movie that we were used to while we were in our past Krishna conscious life. we were watching a lot of movies. But we can see that Mahabharata and Ramayana, they're so attractive. But the only difference is that this is dynamic. In the sense, we can learn things which will change our life. And by hearing this, we will also get purified. Unlike other stories, where the actors themselves may not be following proper principles in life, or of course, nowadays they don't teach anything good. So we will just go after one pastime to the other as time permits. I hope that we will be able to learn some good lessons out of these stories. So ultimately the Pandavas, they grew up and they became very skillful. Drona taught them wonderful archery, all martial arts were taught to them, and they became qualified. As a matter of fact, they became much more famous amongst the Jana, the Praja, than the Kauravas. And Yudhishthir was almost liked by everyone. So they were thinking, again Duryodhan was thinking, how I should get rid of them. His heart was burning. So the next incident was the Lakshagraha. He decided to kill them by burning them alive. And this time he sent them for another picnic. He told his father, actually he requested his father, because the father was, Dhritarashtra was the monarch. And whatever the king says, people have to follow. So when Dhritarashtra told Yudhishthir and the other Pandavas and Kunti to go to this particular place outside Hastinapur and take a look around, stay there for some time, it's a nice pleasure house over there, that time he guessed that something is wrong. Why he is not sending the other Kauravas? And of course Vidura knew the whole thing. There was one person appointed, Purochan, and this Purochan went ahead and he made a house made of lac, and he put lot of other materials which are very easily inflammable. So like that, everything was ready for the Pandavas to be killed. And Vidura, just before leaving, he spoke in a special language to Yudhishthir and conveyed the message that there is danger to your life. So of course Yudhishthir, Pandavas, they stayed at the palace, but every night someone would be on guard. At one point of time, Yudhishthir decided that now we should take action. There have been many days have passed. They never showed to anybody that they knew about it. And at night he ordered Bhima to burn the house. Bhima burned the house, and by that time they had created a tunnel from the house outside the city, and Kunti along with the other Pandavas escaped through that tunnel. Now they are royal prince. Kunti herself is a very very exalted princess and a devotee. They stayed such opulent life, everything to eat. As Kshatriyas, they would go in jungles for hunting. Very very opulent lifestyle. But now they were like fugitives running away from the wrath of Duryodhan, and they entered the jungle. The fear was, if they are detected, then Duryodhan may just plan something new and immediately kill them. And because now they don't have any support of any other king, so there is nobody to protect them. So it's a long story that how they travelled through the jungle. In the jungle, while they were walking, they were so tired that they could not walk any further. So Bhimsen, he carried all the Pandavas, his mother and everyone, and he started running. And as he was running in the jungle, there were a lot of trees. He was kicking all of them aside and making way also. And he was running, and for long distance, and they were sitting, and they were tired sitting. But he was not tired running, so he stopped to give them rest. And so they rested, they went to sleep, and over there Bhimsen encountered with Hidimba. That's another story. Actually, I have so many other things to tell, but I'm feeling inspired to tell this story. Here, Hidimba woke up in the evening. Demons, they get up in the evening, generally. Sleep during the day. That is their lifestyle. So he woke up in the evening and he said, ah, there is some nice food waiting for me. I can smell some humans are here. So he ordered his sister Hidimbi to go and get his breakfast. And she went. But as soon as he reached the place where the Pandavas were resting and Bhimsen was guarding, her eyes fell on Bhimsen. And she was very attracted to him. Wow, he is a very handsome man. So she changed her form into a very beautiful maiden. She approached Bhimsen. And Bhimsen, the rule in Kshatriyas is that if a woman comes to take shelter, then he has to accept her. He cannot refuse. If he is challenged for gambling, then he cannot refuse. If he is challenged for fighting, then he cannot refuse. He has to fight, even if he is thin and lean. He cannot refuse. That is the... We have seen that in when there was war, all the Kshatriya leaders would come out to fight. Bhishma Pitama was so old, still he came on the battlefield. Dronacharya, Kripacharya, they were very old people. But still, they came on the battlefield because that is the Kshatriya rule. It's not that the leader orders others go and fight. He's sitting in his cabin. The leader himself comes. And when the leader is dead, then the war will stop. And the civilians are not harmed in such encounters then. So here, Bhimsen looked at this woman and he said that my parents or my family members are taking rest, so don't disturb. I cannot heed to you now. And so she said, see, my brother is there and he's a Rakshasa and he's going to come and eat you. Bhim says, I'm not frightened of any Rakshasa. Let him come, I will kill him. So the discussion goes on and this lady, she requests that Hidimbi, that Bhimsen, what I will do is, I have mystic powers, I will carry all of you to a different part of this world. And that way my brother will not be able to find you. And then, that's a very beautiful place where the Kinnaras and Kim Purushas stay. And we can enjoy over there. So, or else my brother will come. And so, brother is sitting over there and he understands that it has been long time that my sister has not come. What is she doing? And he comes, Hidimba. And he sees that sister has changed into a very beautiful maiden form. And he understands. And he immediately challenges. He says that, you are trying to take away my breakfast by associating with this man. Now I will kill you and kill him also. And then there is a massive fight between Bhimsen and Hidimba. And then the Pandavas, they should not wake up. So Bhimsen catches Hidimba and drags him on one side, a little further away in the jungle. But the fighting roar is so loud that the Pandavas wake up and they see a beautiful girl standing. She explains the whole thing. And then of course Bhimsen kills this demon by breaking his backbone. And after that he tells Hidimbi, I will kill you also. Go away from her. Just trying to frighten her. And she starts pleading to the Pandavas that I am taking shelter of Bhimsen. And as a Kshatriya, he cannot refuse. Even demons, they knew all the Shastra very well. So she requests like that. And if do not accept me, I will destroy myself. And she approaches Kunti and complains to Kunti. And Kunti says, don't worry, he will have to accept. Yudhishthir also says. So then Bhimsen, by the order of his seniors, gets married to Hidimbi, and Ghatotkach is born. And just being born, after some time he grows into a huge huge child. So like that, through the jungle they are going, and they go through so many other calamities. Sometimes they meet demons, sometimes they don't get food to eat, and they are going. And Arjuna faces a Gandharva, has a fight with him, and then ultimately he becomes his friend. And then At last they reach the ashram of Dhaumya Rishi and accept him as their guru. And during that time, Vyasadeva also visits them, and Vyasadeva suggests that the Panchal king Drupada is going to have a Swayamvar for his daughter. So I suggest that Arjun participate and all the other Pandavas go and win the hand of this girl who is very beautiful. Her name is Draupadi. And Draupadi is actually born and destined to be the wife of the Pandavas, specifically Arjuna. So here they are going to Panchal, but now they are dressed as Brahmanas. They have beard and they have jata. They have very simple clothes so that nobody recognizes them. If Duryodhan comes to know, he may try to kill them. And as they walk, they see other Brahmins going towards Panchal. And the Brahmin asks, "Where are you going?" "We are going for the Swayamvar." "Oh, very nice. We are also going. Please join us." And they look at their clothes and they say, "This one Brahmin boy, he's too huge to be a Brahmin." And the others also, they look like lions. They are like lions and they are stride. But anyway, Drupada will give lot of donations. He will give lot of charity. Maybe you will get some good clothes to wear. Like that. Drupada has made wonderful arrangements. And his desire is that Draupadi should get married to Arjuna. Therefore, he has made a beautiful stadium with many gates. And there are special seats for all the kings who come, made in gold, and other places, one section for the Brahmins, one stadium for the other general people, like that. And Drupada himself sits there, as Govind Prabhu was mentioning in his class last time, that how this whole festival takes 16 days. 15 days are spent in charity. He just gives out a lot of charity, just for purifying the occasion. How Govind Prabhu was mentioning that how we take so much effort into keep ourselves pure. Similarly, a devotee puts a lot of efforts in trying to stay pure in this material world by chanting the holy names, by taking prasad, by associating with the devotees, by taking shelter of the holy books. And one should try to maintain that purity, because there is no substitute for purity, especially students. It's very, very important, because nobody wants to remain pure in today's world. People are looking forward to become contaminated. Like students are waiting, when will I go to college and contaminate myself? My parents have maintained me so purely. When will I give up that purity? Looking forward. But little do they realize that this is something which is priceless. And when it is maintained, it can be so useful in understanding spiritual life. So here, 15 days are spent in purifying the whole occasion. And on the 16th day, 15 days, Drupada is giving charity, just giving charity. But the Pandavas, they don't go to take charity, because they are Kshatriya. Kshatriya will never beg. He will fight, but he will never beg. So they just sit in the Brahman section, the stadium. And on the 16th day, all the kings come and Draupadi is supposed to come in the audience. As soon as she appears, she is so beautiful, all the kings, some of them almost faint. And then they become very angry and they slap their laps and their thighs and hands in anger, looking at each other, that I will win the contest. And Drishtadyumna, the brother of Draupadi, speaks about the occasion, and he mentions that how the contest is, there is a contest, and knowingly Drupada has made this contest, because he knows no ordinary person can win this contest. Someone of the caliber of Arjun can do it. There is a tall pole put up, and on the top of the pole there is a target, and just below the target there is a dish which has a hole in it, and it is rotating. And there is a very special bow which no ordinary man can lift. One has to string the bow, shoot an arrow, and the arrow should go through the rotating disc through the hole and hit the target. So seeing that different kings participate, we have Jarasandh coming and trying. Shishupal comes, tries to pick and put the string. As soon as he bends the bow, it swings back and Shishupal flies to somewhere, falls down. Jarasandh comes, he is not able to do it. Two, three other kings cannot even lift it. They are sweating and they go back. And Duryodhan becomes angry, seeing all the other kings in such bad shape. He gets up. He's a Atirathi, very powerful. He picks up and deftly puts the string on the bow. Then puts the arrow, a golden shaft. And he strings it and pulls it. And everyone is in silence and he leaves the arrow from the bow. It goes through the rotating hole and just misses the target by a hair's width. And there is a big sigh. And then Duryodhan becomes angry, throws the bow down, goes back. So like that, many kings have tried. Nobody is successful. And now Drupada is thinking, my God, nobody is there. Who is going to win the hand of my daughter? And he's just praying, I wish, he's just thinking, Arjuna was here. But I heard that they have been burnt in Lakshagra. But I also heard rumors that they are alive. But if they are alive, where are they now? Drupada is thinking like this in his heart of the heart. At that time, Arjuna gets up and looks at Daumya Rishi taking his permission. And Daumya Rishi nods at Arjuna. Arjuna, as soon as he leaves the Brahmin's compound, all the Brahmins get up and start shouting. Because generally, such contests, no Brahmin will participate. Because Brahmins are simple people, they don't have any much wealth and not much bodily strength. So the Brahmanas, they start waving their deerskin pots. And as Arjuna is going, at that time, some Brahmanas object. They say, my God, he's going to spoil the name of all the Brahmanas. He's just an impudent child. Maybe out of impudence he is getting up and trying to do something. But he has no skill, he has no strength. What will happen? It will be a shame on the whole community of Brahmanas. Stop him! But the other Brahman says, no, no, look at him. He looks like a lion. Look at his arms, they look so powerful. We think that he can do it. If anybody can do it, he can do it. Let him do it. So then they all agree and they sit down. Arjun goes, everybody looking at him. Arjun picks up the bow, puts the arrow, pulls the string, and with mind-boggling speed shoots the arrow. It goes flying straight through the hole and hits the target, bringing the target down on the floor. And everyone shouts in applause, especially the Brahmins. They start dancing. Actually, before Arjun goes to shoot the arrow, he goes to Drupada and he takes his permission. Can a Brahmin participate in this? And Drupada says, Brahmins are worshipable by even by the gods. You can participate, he says. And then Arjun wins and he walks up the stairs towards Draupadi, who is very happy because she is happy that Duryodhan has not become my husband, first of all. And secondly, she is saying that, she's thinking that, he's a Brahmin. She has the nuptial garland, red nuptial garland, waiting to be put around Arjuna. And she thinks that he's a Brahmin, but he's very powerful and very handsome. And she doesn't mind getting married to him. And she puts the garland. As soon as she puts the garland, all the other kings become very angry. What is this? This girl has accepted a Brahmana. And we are all great people over here and nobody has accepted us. And so Drupada can see, it is a general thing among Kshatriyas, even marriages and doing that can be always be fights during marriages. And people die during Kshatriya marriages. So here Draupadi, she accepts Arjun, and Drupad, he realizes all the kings are getting agitated. He immediately tells his ministers that get ready for the fight. And they all start approaching, and Duryodhan and others get up and start chastising Drupad. He has called us over here to insult us, and they start abusing him, and let us destroy him. By that time, Yudhishthir has started leaving the stadium along with Kunti. Kunti is not there. Along with other Pandavas, Nakul, Sahadev, and Bhima, and now Draupadi also has joined in. But Yudhishthir realizes the other kings are going to attack Drupada, now who is now our father-in-law. So he tells Bhima and Arjun, go and help him. So immediately they start running, and Arjun takes the same bow, and Bhimsen could not find much. He saw a big tree, so he took the tree. He just took the huge tree and started waving in front of the kings, so nobody could come close. And Arjun stood next to Drupada, both of them standing there, and the fight starts. Karna jumps up, and Karna actually always had a desire to fight with Arjun, but he was never allowed. So here he doesn't know that this person is Arjun, but he starts fighting with him, and he leaves arrows, and Arjun is being provided by different arrows from Drupada's men, and Arjun starts shooting all his arrows, and Karna is shocked that how this Brahmana can be so skillful. First he leaves 100 arrows, then he leaves 1000 arrows, and everything is destroyed. As a matter of fact, Arjuna hits him on his hands and other places, and he's very, very much, and then they start fighting with celestial weapons which are invoked by mantras, and they are very powerful. And when that fight starts, all the other kings start watching with open mouth, what is happening, just these two people fighting. And the fight is very terrible. In the meantime, Bhimsen has a hand-to-hand combat with Shalya, who is also a very powerful man. Nobody has been able to defeat him. So Karna then realizes that it's very difficult to fight with him, and especially he's a Brahman, and Brahman is always more strong in his spiritual strength. Just like Parashuram, one time, because of his spiritual strength, destroyed all the Kshatriyas. So I better not take much chances, you know. So Karna stops fighting, and he congratulates Arjun. And at the same time, Bhimsen, fighting with Shalya, picks him up, whirls him and throws him far away. And all the kings are shocked that nobody has ever been able to do that. Who's this powerful man? But anyway, other kings come and say that, you know, forget it, we should not get in fight with Brahmanas. Let them go. They are always respectful. So then Arjun, Bhimsen, they all go back to their dwelling. They are staying at one very poor potter's house. And Drupada is thinking that, who is this man who has come and taken my daughter? I don't know his lineage. Maybe he's Brahman, maybe he's not Brahman, maybe he's Shudra. God knows who he is, but he looked very powerful. So he sends his son, Drishtadyumna, to go and find out. So Drishtadyumna goes. Of course, one more thing I forgot to mention was, during that time, in the opposite side of the podium, Krishna and Balram are sitting. And they are all watching this. And Krishna is always telling Balram, I think no one else could do all these things except for the Pandavas. I think that fellow is Bhima and this is Arjuna. So Balramji says, maybe. So after the whole incident, Bhima and Arjuna, they do not even participate. None of the Yadavas participate, because they know that Draupadi is destined to be won by Arjuna. And the point to be understood over here is, although he knew that, you know, Draupadi is destined to be won, he still put his efforts. It's not he thought that, you know, okay, anyway, that's my destiny, I will get it. That's one good quality of great devotees. Even in the Kurukshetra war, Arjun says, Yavadeta nirikshaham yodha kama avekshina. I want to see who are the people who are going to fight. And Prabhupada writes over there that Arjuna has come to see, telling Krishna to bring his chariot in front so that he can see what is the power of all the people who are going to fight with me, so that I can prepare myself. Now Arjuna could have thought, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is with me, why I need to bother, just let me fight. No, he is preparing, he works. So devotee works in that sense, although we know that all auspiciousness is there if we chant Hare Krishna, but we need to put special efforts in our Krishna conscious life, trying to explore that, am I doing my practices properly? Am I properly taking shelter? We need to find out, am I trying to fight my anarthas and trying to overcome them? That is the endeavor put by devotee, and therefore there are two things, two fingers short, the endeavor from the devotee and then the mercy of the Lord. Both are required. We just cannot depend on the Lord. God helps those who help themselves. So like that, Krishna and Balaram then visit this potter's house, and they see, and Krishna comes and introduces, I am Krishna and this is my brother Balaram. And Yudhishthira Maharaj gets up, and Krishna goes and touches his feet, and of course they recognize each other. And Yudhishthira Maharaj says, how did you come to know that we are here? He says, fire cannot be hidden for very long. And they have a talk, and outside Drishtidumna, brother of Draupadi, is watching all this, what is going on. And he wonders, who are these people that two great Yadava kings have come to meet them? They must not be ordinary. And then Krishna says, I should leave, otherwise Duryodhan will detect you. And they leave. Then Drupada goes near the window and he sees that there are five men. One of them is very huge, and they are sitting over there. And one lady is also there, that is Kunti. And his sister Draupadi is there, very happy, sitting, because now she knows that she has got married to Arjuna. So here Draupadi is being taught by Kunti how to serve the Pandavas. And she says, you should take the food, divide it into half. Half you give to Bhima. And remaining half you make into portions and give to the other brothers. So like that. And Draupadi is learning, okay. And Drishtadyumna is watching that my sister is learning, and now she is giving food to all the Pandavas. Half she gave to Bhima. He doesn't know that is Bhima. And the remaining portions, little she has given to other brothers. And now they're taking rest. And he's watching all that Kunti sleeps on their side of their head. They all sleep in line. Kunti Devi sleeps on the near their head. And Draupadi, they're all sleeping on deer skin. Draupadi sleeps at their feet, very cheerful, happy in her humble position. And Drishtadyumna hears that as they are lying down, they are talking to each other about how they fought with all the other warriors in the battle, and they are discussing about arms and martial arts. So he understands they are not ordinary, they are surely special. And he goes and he informs Drupada, and Drupada sends his head priest and to inquire who they are. And Yudhishthira Maharaj says that, see, what difference does it make? Tell Drupada not to worry, because we have won Draupadi very justly. We participated and she has won, so you need not worry. At that very moment another message comes that there is a huge feast which has been arranged for all of you. Please come at Drupad's palace. So immediately all the Pandavas, they go, because they have not eaten good food for a long time now. They go because they have been invited. Actually, also because of getting married to Draupadi, they have had a now alliance with Drupada, which is very favorable for them to face Duryodhan. And of course, they also found Krishna come and give a favorable response, who is their ever protector. So they go, and just like kings, they are kings. So they go and immediately go and sit on the golden asans which are there, and they accept all the good food which is there very nicely. And Drupada realizes that they are not ordinary, and then they reveal themselves. Drupada is very happy, then the news spreads. The Kauravas come to know that Pandavas are still alive. Actually, when the news comes, Vidura goes to inform Dhritarashtra that they have won and they are still there. So Dhritarashtra thinks that Duryodhana has won Draupadi and he becomes very happy. Oh, very nice. Let jewelry be made, let everything be. Then he tells him, no, the Pandavas have won and they are alive. So he immediately does not reveal his emotions, but he says, oh, they are very dear to me, they are very nice. Like that. So he also wants that the Pandavas should be annihilated. But by destiny of Krishna, they are saved. So here, the Pandavas, now the discussion goes, what to do? Should we bring them back to Hastinapur? So Karna gives one advice, we will go and fight them right now and kill them. And Dushasan says, yes, we should not allow them. Duryodhan says, they have no rights over the kingdom. I am the king. Then Bhishma, Dronacharya and Vidura, they tell Dhritarashtra, you see, because of what has happened, everybody is censoring us, saying that it is the Kauravas who have killed the Pandavas by sending them to Lakshagra. So it is known to everybody. So now people are become very uncooperative. This is politics. So you better, bring them back and have good relations so that our people will also become satisfied. So Dhritarashtra says, okay, Vidur, you go and bring them back. Then Vidura goes with lot of wealth and invites the Pandavas. He requests Drupada, please allow them to come. Krishna is also present over there. And Krishna says, yes. They all ask Krishna's advice. Krishna says, they should go back. And when they come, that time it is already decided that they will be given half the kingdom. So Dhritarashtra says, so that we can avoid future fight, I wish to give half the kingdom to the Pandavas. Yudhishthir, you will be coronated as the king, and Khandavaprastha is the place that is for you, and rule over there peacefully. As soon as he says Khandavaprastha, all the other devotees, Bhishma and Drona, look at each other. What is this? And Krishna is also there. Krishna is sitting and he is smiling. Yudhishthir Maharaj is not at all angry. He felt no anger. Because this Khandavaprastha is a useless place. At one time it used to be the capital of the Kurus. But because one Kuru offended a great saint, it was cursed, and now that place was simply desert and some jungle. So realizing that there was not even a single dwelling, nobody staying over there, still Yudhishthir Maharaj was very, very cool and calm. And in one lecture I was hearing, which was given in Russia by Niranjan Swami Maharaj, Radhanand Swami Maharaj, on a sannyas initiation. In that lecture they mentioned over there that what is the qualification of a sadhu or sannyasi? Yudhishthir Maharaj is like that, elevated devotee. He is always humble. After hearing this also, he is offering his obeisances to all the senior devotees. Speciality of Yudhishthir Maharaj is he never gives up virtue, dharma. That is his speciality under all circumstances. And it is very difficult. Therefore Yudhishthir Maharaj is glorified all over the universe. And one can take so much inspiration from him. And here we see that after this he is offering his obeisances to all his seniors. And in that lecture they were mentioning that a sannyasi or a great devotee is one who offers his obeisances to everyone, even a dog eater, even an ant. He is respectful to everyone. And the difference between a great devotee and a neophyte is that neophyte is always fighting. At the same time, he is not able, what to speak of, he cannot offer obeisances to his own colleagues, other devotees. What to speak of offering obeisances and respects to outsiders? That is very far away. So that is the difference. And that is the criteria kept to take sannyas. One should be humble than the blade of grass, offering respects to everyone. So like that, Yudhishthir Maharaj was very humble. and he got half the kingdom. Now we will see how Krishna plays his different roles in the lives of the Pandavas. He becomes a civil engineer for them, you know. He gives a civil engineer advisor over here now, because there is nothing over there on that land. So the Pandavas, they go to Khandavaprastha. Vyasadeva accompanies them, and they see, they find a very auspicious place where a city can be made. They know Krishna is there, Krishna is smiling, so Yudhishthira Maharaj has hope. As long as Krishna is there, we do not worry. Krishna, along with Vyasadeva, sits down at that place, that is towards the northern direction. They sit, and Krishna invokes Indra to come. And Indra comes and says, "My dear Lord, what shall I do for you now?" Indra says, "We want to make a beautiful city for the Pandavas. And this place, nothing can grow over here. There is some forest over there, but the remaining part is all desert. So you sprinkle your nectar over here, so that everything is revived again." So Indra says, "So be it." And he puts nectar, he invites their architect, Vishwakarma, architect of the demigods, the best architect is called, and he starts making a city which has walls made of granite up to the skies. It has beautiful palaces all around, which has windows like the wings of Garuda. It has many temples of Vishnu and other devatas. It has so many, outside the city there is beautiful gardens, fruit bearing gardens, flower bearing gardens, lakes and ponds. Amazing, beautiful city is made. And then slowly the brahmanas, they start coming and staying in the city to do sacrifices. The other vaishyas, they want to do business and earn some money, and they come and settle in the city, and very soon the whole city is populated with praja, and Yudhishthira Maharaj rules very nicely the whole city of Khandavaprastha, now called as Indraprastha. So like that, although Duryodhan tried his best, but because of the blessings of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas keep progressing more and more and more. During that time, to cut the long story short, Arjuna has to go out on a pilgrimage for 1 year. And at the end of his pilgrimage, he goes towards the western direction where there is Prabhas Kshetra, and there is Dwarka, Lord Krishna's residence. So Arjuna has decided he will go through other pilgrim places, then he will visit Dwarka in the end. But his actual motive is to get the hand of Subhadra in marriage, about whom he has heard a lot from his cousin Gada, that how she is very beautiful, she has all the feminine qualities. And so Arjun goes, and as he reaches Dwarka, he realizes that there is a huge bridge which goes towards Dwarka, and is heavily guarded with gates opening at every different section. So he sends a message for Krishna. Krishna comes out to meet Arjuna. Here we'll see Krishna acts as the marriage board advisor for for Arjuna. Just imagine, the Supreme Lord, so many things he does for his devotee. He's built him a palace, now he's going to get him married against all odds. And Arjuna talks to him, then Arjuna mentions what is there in his mind, because they are good friends. And Krishna says, "Subhadra, that is very difficult, because Dwarka city, the father of the city is Balaram, and he has some other plans. His plan is that she should get married to Duryodhan, because Duryodhan is his disciple in mace fighting. Now what should we do?" So as we are talking about the topic of marriage, I just met one friend, devotee, who is grihastha, trying to become grihastha. He was telling me, "Prabhu, you think that you have become a brahmachari and it is very difficult to become a renunciate, you know, and then remain a renunciate. Let me tell you, it is as difficult to get married and remain married." shocked. He said, yes, believe me. I'm struggling so much, but I'm not able to get married. And then what to speak of? Remaining married. So we both are in the same boat, you know. You are trying, you have become a renunciate, then you have to remain a renunciate. Yeah, same thing with the marriage. So here, Krishna tells him the odds. Very difficult to get married to Subhadra. And in her swayamvar, if you go, but don't worry. You just come and stay, and we will see. We will decide some plan. Like that. But he says, don't come as yourself, as Arjun. Because if you come, you can never see Subhadra. She is never seen in public. She also stays in the palace of Balramji. So you can never go there also. So what you do is dress up as a sadhu and come. And Balram likes to serve sadhus a lot. Because he wants Subhadra to get a lot of blessings from sadhus. So you dress up like a sadhu and come. And so Krishna gives him a nice palace to stay. And he informs Balram, a very nice sadhu has come. And then immediately, very soon, Arjuna gets... He has three danda, Vaishnava sadhu he becomes. And he gets an invitation from Balram. And he goes to the palace. And Subhadra is there. And he sees Subhadra for the first time. She serves him. And he tries not to see her. But she realizes this sadhu is something different. Because he looks very powerful. She sees he's so powerful. His hands are like a five-hooded snake. And behind his beard is a very handsome face. And now and again, he comes over there because he does not know that what may be Subhadra's plan. And Arjuna has thought that if Subhadra doesn't want to get married to me, I will not take her. He has also decided. Krishna is very intelligent. Krishna has arranged everything. So here, one day Krishna, Subhadra also has some feelings for that sadhu who comes over there. And Krishna approaches Subhadra in privacy and he asks her, so what do you think, what is your opinion about yourself getting married? She says that, you know, somehow I have some feelings for this sadhu who's coming here. Oh, Krishna listens very nicely. And Krishna says, what about Duryodhan? You know, your brother Balramji wants to get. And she twists her face. She says, no way, Duryodhan. So then Krishna says, you know, I heard that Arjuna was going to come here to get married to you for your hand. And then she immediately realized, oh, so that person is actually Arjuna. Then, so everything is settled. Only Balramji is remaining, which is a big problem. So ultimately, the rainy season is coming to an end when sadhus have to go traveling. And last time Arjuna is called for prasad, and then he goes and he realizes now Subhadra also knows. So he goes to Krishna, what to do? Krishna says, see, in no way you can take Subhadra. There is only one way, just kidnap her. Kidnap my sister. And he says, but how do I do that? And there is a festival which will be taking place on the Raivata hill, and all our family members will come. That is the day she will come out. And he says, but Balramji and other, what about them? He said, don't worry, I will take care of them. When the right time comes, I will take care. So Krishna gives him his chariot. First thing he does is gives him his very powerful chariot with celestial horses. And he gives Arjuna the reins. Arjuna goes outside, wears the armor, and he's ready. There's a huge festival going on. Dwarka city is non-stop festival. Every day is like a festival over there. There are demigods visiting Dwarka city. It is so opulent. Beautiful. Because Lord Krishna himself residing over there. So Arjuna is ready. And Subhadra is standing with her friends. At that time Arjuna starts riding the horse. And she sees that, my God, he's coming right for me. And he approaches and in a minute takes her on the chariot. And turns and starts going away. Full speed. And runs away. Immediately the Yadus, they realize what has happened. The chief of the war, he comes to a square in the middle and starts, blows his golden conch, which is a war cry. Everyone assembles in the Sudharma hall. which is the assembly hall of the Yadus, and Balram is standing in the middle. He says, what is this impudence? Who was that man? Since he was Arjuna, couldn't he come and ask for Subhadra's hand? He thinks he's going to insult the Yadus. Arrange for my horses, get my armor, arrange for war and everyone. Just like when the lamp, when oil is put, all of them light up to fight. They are ready to fight. And as they are about to, they are hailing, we will destroy him, kill him. At that time, Krishna is just sitting very quietly. So they are all about to leave. At that moment, Balramji says, wait a minute, just keep quiet. While everyone is shouting, why is Krishna quiet? What is in his mind? Let us find out. Krishna, what do you have to say? Arjuna is your friend. He has done this. He should be punished. Krishna says, I don't think he spoiled our name. I feel Partha is very intelligent. He says, what do you mean? He says that, see, he knows that if he comes and asks for our girl, gives us lot of jewels, gems, and takes her, he cannot buy. Nobody will sell his child. So he knows that he cannot give us money and buy Subhadra. And at the same time, he's a Kshatriya, he doesn't want to accept her as a gift. So very intelligently, he has kidnapped her. And at the same time, he has taken my chariot. So you cannot catch him. He is very powerful. And he is the most powerful warrior on the planet. So we will be defeated. We will be insulted. And secondly, now nobody is going to marry Subhadra because she has been touched by Arjuna. So always we are going to lose. So better invite him back, send a messenger, and get them married nicely over here. So, and then some kings have some oppositions, and Krishna very intelligently solves all their doubts, and the whole mood changes, and they invite Arjuna and they have a very nice celebration. So we see Krishna, he can go to any extent for his devotee. And of course he and Arjuna are like Nar and Narayan, who were in their previous appearances. They have done wonderful feats. So like that, there are so many wonderful pastimes. We can just go on. We have the burning of Khandava Prast, we have the dice game, and if we just get absorbed in these kathas, because our main goal is to get absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Antakale cha mam eva smarana muktva kalevaram. Whatever we remember at the time of death, that is the type of body we will get. So it is very important for us to absorb in Krishna Katha. And wonderful pastimes are given in Krishna book, mentioned in the Shastra. As we meditate on them, then Smaranam, which is a very important part, then surely enough we can remember Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggests, Lord Srila Prabhupada suggests, that the best means to remember Krishna is by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And I seek the blessings of all the devotees over here so that I can also chant Hare Krishna nicely. Thank you very much for your time and your attention. Maybe we meet again and discuss on more of these kathas. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai.